All aboard and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Always Be Booked Cruise Cast Show, coming to you not quite live from Long Island, New York. Here we are. It's another week and we got a show for you today. We got a buddy. You recognize the gentleman. His name is Ryan Q. We talk about it all the time. It's just finding the time in busy schedules to be able to record together. It's been rough, but we're happy. Happy to jump on. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about the Carnival Venezia. We talk about Atlantic City for a second. We talk about the Norwegian Joy and my upcoming sailing to Bermuda and a few other things. It was good catching up with Ryan. We'll have that conversation for you in a few minutes. We'll go over a couple of things in cruising right now. Weird thing happened, Carnival Sunrise. Now, I don't know, man, this weather has been out of control. There's really no, even up here, but I do know when it rains in South Florida, that's typically not front page news, you know, because there have been just some sideways torrential downpours that go on down there. But this past weekend, it was out of control. And Carnival Sunrise, there was a couple of really, really, alarming incidents. One in particular where one of the upper decks, like 10 or 11, started flooding. And some guests were asked to go to their muster stations, and some families and some cruisers were really, I mean, they say that too. They say, you know, the enemy of a cruise ship, what you do not want to see, the one thing on a cruise ship you never want is fire. I would have to say a close second to that is probably water where it's not supposed to be, right? The last thing you want to do is be in your hallway. You open your cabin door, there's 3 or 4 inches of water, and somebody yells, "We're taking on water," and then the security or the powers that be are telling you time to go to your muster station. And that's kind of what happened on this cruise ship. But listen, it was just rainwater. They bounced back. It was what it was. But yes, the rain was and continues to be crazy this season in both Florida and up here where I am in New York. I'm looking at another very dreary day. But what else is going on here in some cruise action? I think Celebrity is hitting the news because they are announcing a few more short sailings than they normally do. They have a few of their cruise ships, the Reflection, the Summit, and I believe that's it. They're going to be hitting ports like Bimini, Cozumel, Key West, Nassau, and Coco Cay. That's right. It's an island, a destination that used to just be reserved for Royal Caribbean guests. They're opening up their sister brand Celebrity to make some ports of call. That I'd love to hear what you guys think about that. Tommy at Always Be Booked. If you want to let me know, should Royal Caribbean International, the corporation, be allowing Celebrity to share Coco Cay? Because, of course, the knee-jerk answer is yes. Why not? The more the merrier. But then you kind of worry, like, when does it get out of control? Royal Caribbean always being known for very large cruise ships. You know, there's already, I mean, Oasis of the Sea shows up. Icon of the Sea shows up. Utopia. They show up at Coco Cay. That's a crowd just from that ship alone, let alone add a navigator or whatever. I think they stop at 2. I've never seen, now I could be totally wrong, I've never seen more than 2 cruise ships on Coco Cay at once, but, you know, I guess you don't always get 2 ships. Sometimes it's 1. When you put a Celebrity into the mix, you're increasing the odds of 2 ships being at that cruise port. So when you're talking about having Icon of the Seas and then one of these big Celebrity ships as well, yeah, it's going to be a crowded island. But hey, this is cruising. Cruising is our business, and business is good. So yeah, these are like 3,000 passenger vessels, and we do have a quote. "More than ever before, our guests are seeking opportunities to escape the everyday bond, to bond with friends and family," said Laura Hodges Bethage. She is president of Celebrity Cruises. "We love that we can offer vacation options designed to provide guests with elevated experience that's close to home while still exceeding their expectations on what a vacation can be." So why not? I say the more the merrier. I'm not necessarily, I'm not a person who's ever adverse to crowds. I don't mind crowds. I just wish the infrastructure a lot of times would match those crowds, and I only mind when it's trying to get from one place to another, and I only mind when I'm having to be made to wait longer than I otherwise would have. You know, I don't mind people around me. I don't mind the crowd. I don't mind it busy, bustling, New York guy, the whole bit. But again, when I got to stand in certain places and wait for elevators, wait for drinks, just have the infrastructure match the crowds is the only thing that I ask. What else do we have? Mediterranean, guys. The Mediterranean, I don't know if you guys know this, but, you know, stats and figures and stuff like that, they kind of interest me. I'll give you a little pause to guess, you know, so you guys can try to fill in. What do you think? First one, nice and easy. The biggest cruise region, the biggest cruise market region that there is. What do you think it is? I'm not going to give you too long for this one because I think you should know it. Nice and easy. It is, that's right, the Caribbean. Okay? And the Caribbean accounts for 38% of all cruising. Number two, what do you think it is? Now we got to do some thinking. Maybe some of you know right away. Maybe some of you want to marinate and, you know, what do you think it might be? In a couple of beats, we're going to give you that answer. That answer is the Mediterranean. Mediterranean is 17.5% of the global cruising market. Now, where are we at next? What do you guys think? This is where it gets a little dicey. Where do you think the next biggest cruise market might be? I will tell you, coming in at number three is Northern Europe. So British, you know, up in the upper parts of Europe. And then number four, this one surprised me because I would have thought that number four and number five, if you asked me to guess, would have been switched up. They're very, very close. By the way, Northern Europe is 10% of the global cruise market. Number four is Asia, and Asia is going to get you 6.7%. I know they're growing. I know they're up and coming, but I also did kind of get the vibe and the feel that people said it wasn't growing at the rate people thought it would. You know, a lot of cruise ships were purpose-built for the Asian market, not unlike the one I'm going on in 12 days, the Norwegian Joy. Originally purposely built for Asia. They didn't realize they didn't get, there wasn't as much of a demand as they thought. So now she's back over this way. 6.7. Coming in at number five is, I bet you know what this one is. What do you think, guys? That's right. We're coming back stateside, kinda. The final frontier, Alaska. 5.4% of the global cruise market. After that, what do you guys think? This is a good little battle here. I would say 5, 6, and 7 are a nice little battle because I think they could probably interchange. I bet they do change within the years. So right after Alaska, it's the Mexican West Coast, aka the Mexican Riviera. A lot of these ports that'll go out of California, you know, that type of thing. 4.5% of the global cruise market. And then right after that, Australia and New Zealand, they account for 3.9%. And I got something to say to our Australian friends. I love you guys down there, okay? Down under. I know we got some listeners down in Australia. I'll say they do a lot of yelling and screaming about new cruise ships and, you know, it's not fair. We don't get the new hardware. There have been plans to put new builds in Australia. Said plans have been scrapped and reversed upon. And then subsequently sending our mates down under into a proverbial, what would you say? They would send them into disarray. They'd get all fired up. This is not fair. We continuously get shunned. Mates, 3.9% of the market. You can't expect a ton of new hardware to be going down there when you got 3.9% of the global cruising market share. Right after that, South America, 2.6. The Red Sea / Indian Ocean is 2.48. And the Canary Islands are 2.1. And lastly, Hawaii at 1%. I don't know, facts and figures, they're interesting to me. So we shared them with you. Carnival Cruise Line offers another new build cruise ship. Now, this is interesting to me because you heard a lot of outlets talking, and not only outlets, the actual shipyard. They were talking about a Carnival cruise ship that is going to rival that of, you know, some of the larger Royal Caribbean cruise ships out there. A cruise ship that may not be on the level of Oasis or Icon, but very, very close. It sounds like they are walking that back a little bit. Now, I don't know. Did they scrap those plans? What I'm hearing, though, is that there is going to be, and this is crazy because it's the 11th XL class. Well, Tommy, what are you talking about? Carnival only has two XL classes on the way right now. Well, I should say three because Jubilee did open up. There's only three. It's 11, guys, because when they put these classes of ships together, you're talking about other brands. You're talking about AIDA. You're talking about all these other, you know, different types of fleets that run under the Carnival Corporation flag that are sister companies to Carnival. So there's 11. So there's going to be an 11. So they're adding another cruise ship that is on par. What they're probably going to do, what I'm reading this, it sounds like they're going to do, it's going to be maybe a version of, I guess, again, the common trend is to create a class of cruise ships and then keep that same kind of hull structure, but add some amenities, maybe a little bit of size, thus being able to call it the plus size of that class. You know, it's a little bit of a hedge, but it seems to be working. Again, cruising. Copycat game. They do it. It works. One does it. The other one does it. And who can blame them for that? Also want to talk the usual stuff, guys. You know, always be booked. We are a travel agency. Bookings have been picking up lately. It seems like people want to cruise, man. Even with these prices being, there's not a big amount of discounts out there. I still hunt down. I take pride in trying to hunt down really, really good hard-to-find cruise deals. So if you want to go on a cruise, if you're interested in cruising at all, Tommy at alwaysbebooked.com. I recommend the September 21st group cruise that we have going on, Pirates and Pier Owners Part 4. Bookings are still coming in. Inquiries are still coming in. We're going to Jamaica. We're going to Labadee, Haiti, hopefully. We're going to Coco Cay. And we're really, really excited. It's a 7-day sailing out of Fort Lauderdale, September 22nd on the Freedom of the Seas from Royal Caribbean. If you have any interest in joining us, like I always say, I can't really put into words the bonds we create, the memories we create, and the good times that we have on these group cruises. And I really would love to see you guys be a part of it. Some of you guys, you know, you've been on the other ones. You're still kind of on the fence. I'd love to hear from you. Tommy at alwaysbebooked.com. Let me at least get you some quotes. You know, maybe you're thinking about it. You're not sure. Let me at least throw you a quote out there or two. There's still some good deals to be had on that ship, even though it is selling pretty well, so don't wait too long. Always Be Booked Cruise and Travel Lounge. I would really, really like you guys to join that Facebook group. It is where we connect. It's where we bond. It's where we establish our sense of community. So you're welcome there. It's a closed group. You have to ask to join. We let you right in. Just, you know, be nice. Get along with people. Share some advice. Ask some questions. Share some pictures. Break each other's chops a little bit. Let's, you know, a little banter. It's where we banter. I have an Instagram account that I'm trying to be a little bit more active with. Always Be Booked. That's right. You guessed it. Check out some of the evergreen content on my YouTube channel, which is called, guess what? Always Be Booked. And if you want to be a part of the show, you email Tommy at alwaysbebooked.com. We would love to have your emails. We'll read your email. I'll probably start picking those back up again in a couple of weeks. But yeah, any questions, concerns, comments, corrections you have, hit me up, Tommy at alwaysbebooked.com. All right, so without further ado, I'm going to get into our conversation with Ryan Q. Yeah,
You've been, I don't want to say replacing your cruise habit, but you've definitely had some, it sounds like some Atlantic City trips have been cutting into your cruise time a little bit. Is that fair?
It's true. Not necessarily by choice, somewhat by choice, but I have, in September we had some really kind of bad news in the family. So I've been in Rhode Island a lot trying to take care of my folks, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
So I had to cancel a lot of trips. So I did go on Vision of the Seas in December, the Venezia in January. And then from there I had a lot booked and, unfortunately had to cancel. So I'm now in a place where I can cruise, but the prices are ridiculous. So I've kind of been replacing it with some Atlantic City, trips, which I don't know. It is very similar to cruising, and I like it, but I'm kind of waiting for the prices to go down for me to get back into the cruise game. My next cruise is May, which is an eternity from now for me, going from, you know, once a month to this. So I haven't been on a cruise since January. Next cruise is in May. I was hoping to jump on with you in April, but I don't think that's going to work either.
It is crazy how these prices are a little high. It's a mixed bag as far as feelings go, because again, you just like to see the industry thriving as it is. And as a part-time travel agent, you know, that doesn't do you no harm, as they say. But of course, you know, everybody does love that cruise experience where you can get cheap cruises, you know, half empty ships, things like that. And yeah, I get it. The ease of where we live and being able to cut down to AC is just, it's tempting. And when that train or whatever that transportation mode is just readily available to you, and then they sometimes can get pretty aggressive with comps too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I look at it as prepaying.
Yeah.
Or postpaying, however you look at it. But yeah, I've been staying at the Trop, just because I like the venues they have, right? There's a lot of restaurants and bars, and
You want to talk about a Royal Promenade type of an atmosphere,
right?
That's
exactly.
That's the Trop. Yeah. And you know, I did. I don't know if you heard it, but I did a show a few months ago about, you know, just observations regarding the similarities between Atlantic City and cruising. Now, I'm not a Vegas aficionado. I know Vegas, you know, what they say about the success of Vegas is how much they've diversified their entertainment district to not necessarily rely so much around casinos and gambling. But AC in general, again, I did a whole show on it based on the similarities. What are some of the observations as far as parallels that you draw between Atlantic City and cruising?
Well, the fact that you can gamble, yes, but also the bars, the restaurants, the comp drinks, right? If you're playing or if you have status, that idea of having a kind of having a drink package, I can apply that at least where I play. And again, I'm paying for it, right? More or less. But it's that concept where, oh, let me grab a drink here or there, the happy hours, the people, right? There's like, I think there's 2,500 rooms at the Tropicana. I mean, it's a lot of people. So at times, if they have an event going on or a promotion, you feel like you're on a ship, right? And Atlantic City, of course, is right on the water. So I tried to find, try to visit venues that I can see the water in that aspect too.
Yeah, it's like, and then everything also, I think the biggest thing is the component where like everything is self-contained within this casino. You could pretty much live your life, whatever you got to do. Gym, shopping, eating, bars, entertainment, gambling, room and board, swimming. It's all contained within this one structure, this mega beautiful structure that's built to entertain you. And particularly if you're at Ocean, one thing that people don't say, Ocean Casino, they do a great job at, again, being the guy who walked there literally every single day of the week from the showboat over to Ocean. You go up that big escalator. Once you get a couple of stories high and now you're on the main level, that ocean is so prevalent and you could see it pretty much everywhere. You're walking along slot machine row and the ocean is right there. You look out and it's the same view that you get from a cruise ship.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's true. Yeah, the self-containment is true. I drive down, I park my car, and I'm in the building, right, for two nights, three nights, whatever. And then I leave. Part of that is there's really not much to do on the outside of the wall. But yeah, that self-containment there, it's true. And that you can do everything you could do on a cruise, really, except go to multiple places.
We had that one night that we met at the Golden Nugget, and I got some awful news for you. I don't know if you heard. I don't think you heard it. I don't see how or why you were. Whoa. What?
I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, it's bad, but this is what I do. I guess, you know, as far as, you know, not necessarily supposed to bring the show down, but we keep it real to a fault. So here's the thing. So me and Ryan, we met at the Golden Nugget, and I love when there's just a surprise, like this surprise thing that you get hit with, you're not expecting. It's like this awesome thing that you just kind of stumble into. And I think that's the case when we stumbled into that Bruce Springsteen tribute band at the deck, right? Yep. And man, it was such a moving experience, because I took our head of security, Scotty, down there maybe a few weeks later, and same exact thing. And you look around and you see the people reveling in this, and it's an older crowd, you know, I would say maybe, you know, late 40s to early 60s or mid 60s. And they're just, you could tell these are people who are Jersey people. They're reliving. They're just like they were back at the Stone Pony on the Jersey Shore, listening to Bruce in his prime, because this guy was delivering, this band was just delivering this experience, this Bruce Springsteen experience. And I've been excited all winter to hopefully maybe just kind of get back down there and do that. So I just started doing research. I'm sure Golden Nugget will have them back or whatever. It seemed like a weekly ritual. First thing research I did, I see the lead singer passed away.
No way. Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
Wow. He was Bruce.
Embodied Bruce. I mean, when they would break from the set, his walk off the stage and walk around to the bar, his shoulder, the way he carried his shoulders, everything. He really, really embodied Bruce. And I'll say this, what a tribute. I'm on the website. And do you know who Max Weinberg is?
No.
He's the drummer for the E Street Band, and he went on to be Conan O'Brien's drummer. Yeah, so Max Weinberg and you know, the Max Weinberg Band or whatever it was. And so he's just an all-time famous legendary drummer, but most famous for being in the E Street Band. And he wrote a nice, very touching eulogy, also very giving him real credibility of saying this guy really, really did embody what we did. He went out on that stage and he embodied what we did. And not to put a damper on things, but wow. Yeah, that was, I was kind of rocked by that, to be honest with you, when I read that.
Yeah, he was, I mean, young guy. Yeah, it's too bad. Yeah.
Very, very sad. But all right, let's take a breath. Let's take a pause, and let's hopefully maybe bring things back up. So just recap. I know we haven't spoken a lot, but where are some of that? What's some of the highlights of where you've been over the last couple of months?
Yeah, I've been to Maine. I've been to, like I said, the Vision of the Seas, Venezia, AC. Where else? I'm sure there's been plenty of other trips.
Let's touch on the Venezia for a second. So, again, a ship that's very, I don't know what you would say. It's a lot of things to a lot of people. It's an outlier, which I love. Carnival taking a chance, bringing a European Italian concept over, and kind of putting it in the northeast part of the country. As far as decor, flow of the ship, feel, what angle they're coming from, do you think was it a hit or was it a miss?
I loved it.
You did?
Loved it. Yeah. Loved it. I'm booking another one. Oh, I don't know if it's going to be this fall or next spring, but I will be back on the Venezia.
So break it down. Carnival cruising Italian style, whatever the catchphrase is. What are the differences or contrasts that jump right out at you?
Well, it's very much in your face Italian style, right? So every food concept, bar concept, venue, the decor, it's all Italian. I loved it. I mean, those that don't want it to be kind of everywhere, maybe not, because it was everywhere. And even the entertainment was all Italian themed for the most part. I mean, you had your deck parties, you had your silent disco, you know, whatever. They had a nightclub, not really. They had the Limelight kind of turned into a nightclub at the end of the night, and they rolled in a bar. It was kind of, yeah, it was that kind of concept.
Okay, so when you say the Limelight, it's interesting because this is a Vista class ship. Am I correct?
Yes.
So that's what you have. It's a Vista class ship, basically across the whole thing, and the Limelight was originally meant to be on this class of ships, which was originally meant to be the comedy club. And the comedy club only, for the most part. And they had the idea to have the dance club be in the main theater. That's why they made the movables in the in the main theater. But they realized that did not work very much. So they ended up putting putting the nightclub in the Limelight. And I guess they did that across all ships, you know, Vista and beyond, Horizon, so on and so forth, Venezia. Now, do they still have to roll in a bar, or do they
build
a bar?
Yeah, it's terrible. No, it's terrible. I mean, you got to wait in line, and people trying to come in the place and leave the place, and they have a limited bar, obviously, because they're not going to stock. If there's no bar, they're not going to wheel everything in. So they wheel select things in, and it's just weird because you have a dance floor in the middle, and then you have an audience, right? You have all the people watchers. And it's like, am I really feeling it to go up there and have everybody watch me, you know, or do I want to sit with them? It just, the concept itself, I didn't really enjoy. But there was no other venue for that kind of, you know, nightclub experience to happen. So it was what it was. And that is the venue they had, the art auctions, the comedy, and it's a great venue for those things. But in terms of a nightclub, I thought it was lacking. But
you know, that's insane that you say that because, yeah, again, and we're nitpicking right now because he already told you he had a freaking great time and he already told you he loved the ship. But this is what we do. We get into the nitty gritty here. And 100%, they didn't learn from that. They didn't learn from that on the Excel class because it's the same scenario. The Limelight is the nightclub. Now, yes. They did. Now they had put a bar in it, which is good. And they do have another venue that's purposed as the actual the comedy club. But what you just said, how you feel like you're in a fishbowl if they have a dance floor, but then since it's an entertainment venue also, the seating kind of just sets you up where like, okay, you just have a bunch
of
people.
You're the star of the show.
Yeah, sitting there with an audience staring at you if you want. And believe me, it does not need to be an if I am drunk enough to decide to maybe throw out a dance move or two, the audience is not going to be happy with that at all. But
I mean, usually at 1 o'clock, if you're in the audience or on the floor, you're feeling good. Usually.
Exactly. And so, all right. So moving on to the good things about the ship. I was curious about the vibe and the feel and the layout of the Lido deck.
Yeah.
Cause it looks like it's like they're going for like a gondola theme or what is it? Like a European, I don't know how to verbalize what I'm trying to say, but like pillars and stuff like that, like real Italian. Piazza. Does that work?
Yeah. For me, it works. I'm not your typical go out and sunbathe like all day cruiser. That's not what I do. I'm doing other activities usually or finding a bar somewhere. So it worked for me, but I can see where that is a gap really for the cruiser that wants to sit in the sun, get in the pool all day long, right? Because it is very self-contained. That main pool area. Yes, they can open the roof, and they did on my sailing, but it's not the same. It's like it's two floors, and there's no like open window. You don't feel the air flow at all. It's just kind of weird. So the whole top of the whole top of the ship really is kind of cookie cutter because you have that area, and then you have some open deck space with no access to a bar. You know, I guess people were walking around, and then you've got the sports section. And then in the back of the ship was really the place where the people went to enjoy the sun near a pool and a bar. So the back of the ship, was really that aft pool bar. There was some grab and go food options. That was really the place where I found, there to be more, you know, a lively crowd during the day, enjoying the sun and the bar. So I was back there most of the time. But in terms of the main pool area, I don't know, the lack of airflow next to the, like on the top deck, just it didn't necessarily work for me, but it's great for cruising out of New York. So we have to realize that, right? Because that back pool area, it's weather permitting. And I always say that about the Anthem of the Seas. It's that enclosed kind of lido, or the ability to open and close a roof. It's great for the Northeast.
Yeah.
So, and the Venezia has been cruising out through the winter. So in that sense, sitting by the pool on the lido, in New York in January, it's appealing.
Right. So yeah. So it sounds like outside, when you were outside, you found yourself gravitating more towards the aft portion of the ship. When you were inside, let's say, you know, when you're out of the sun, or whether you're pre-dinner, post-dinner, inside, which venues did you find yourself gravitating towards?
I was at Amari, which is their, alchemy concept. And it is the alchemy bar. They call it the Amari. The bar menu itself is different. They have some classics from alchemy, but they have obviously some cocktails with an Italian flair. I was there. If I could find a seat, that was like the hottest bar on the ship, on most ships.
Lab coats. Are they running lab coats? Okay.
Yep.
So they really,
and the bar staff was just exceptional, which most are if they're working there. But yeah, no, that was a venue I was at. And then they have the, I was in the atrium sometimes, but the atrium was great for pre or post dinner, because if you ate in the dining room near the atrium, my dining room was the gondola dining room or whatever on the opposite side of the ship, and there was no hallway for me to connect. Mm. I had to go up a level, cross the ship, and then down a level. Right,
as Carnival has been known to do.
Right. So it's fine. I the reason I was going to the atrium is because I really liked the atmosphere. Beautiful, beautiful atrium. And the bar staff was good to me there too. And then the third bar. So again, Amari, the atrium. And then the third bar was Spritz. No, Spritz, Fritz. It'll come to me, but it was like, they had like all different espresso martinis, Aperol spritz, and really some of the same staff that worked the Amari bar would work there too. So that if you couldn't get a seat at the Amari bar, but you wanted that elevated experience, you went to this other bar, and it was all Italian. That bar was all Italian. The liqueurs, the bitters, I mean, everything was Italian. So I appreciated it. Again, not for everyone, but they had plenty of bars inside the ship. I never felt crowded. They moved people around pretty well. The flow of traffic was great. The casino was a little closed in and busy, and the smokiness in the casino is not as great as I find on other ships. But overall, I love the ship. I really did.
A little shout out to the cruise radio fans right there. So I would ask this. You cruise, and you know, you're a avid solo cruiser, and part of that means you are going to make a connection with the staff and the crew and the people that are there. And I know that's a part of your cruise, and you kind of like take that away from every cruise. And a lot of times you'll stay in touch with a lot of them. I know that's different across different cruise lines, but like on this particular ship, did you find yourself being able to do that? Were they there for that? Was there a personal touch from the crew like you normally expect?
Some. So, I mean, it's no news to this crowd, but I prefer a different cruise line, NCL. And I think what really sets them apart from other cruise lines is their staff. And so I get more of that, committed kind of, sometimes you feel like it's kind of forced and they have to, cause it's their job. And then other times it's like, wow, this is like a true connection. I get a lot more of that on NCL. It's not to say that I didn't meet crew members on the Venezia that I had that connection with. And I do, I've been talking to them, and they're waiting for me to book my next trip and give them the date. So I did find some of that, not to the level that I'm used to, but I think more than other cruise lines. On MSC, I didn't find really any of that. So, I mean, it depends. It's a scale, but I definitely connected with the crew. And in that way, it determines really what I do during my cruise. It was a 9-day cruise. By the third day, I kind of knew my tribe, and I was kind of tailoring where I was where I was drinking, where I was eating, you know, based on that dynamic and who would treat me right.
Okay, here's the thing with Carnival. Ready? So Carnival, to me, and if you could disagree or agree with this, or anybody could agree or disagree, to me, they've made a decision. They've made a decision where anything below Vista level, so I'm talking about Dream Class and below, they are going to let some effery, some tomfoolery, some hijinks go on. This is the thing. It's going to be, I mean, you're going to be in for a ride. Pack your patience if you don't like wild, crazy times, if you're sailing on a Dream Class or prior. As far as the Excel class, they tighten it up. They make sure those dogs are ready to go. They're making a statement. They're kind of subscribing to the whole Rudy Giuliani broken windows type of scenario. And you know what? It's Carnival, so it's going to be high energy, but they are going to have it control. They're going to have it under control. They're not playing around. They want those families, and they want those, you know, I guess, big spenders on those new ships. The Vista class, to me, that's a battleground class. That, I think, both factions are kind of fighting to see who takes control. Where is that going to land? Your experience on what is, you know, albeit Italian experience, but ultimately a Vista class ship. How was the crowd? Was this smell of herbal, medicinals in the air? What did you think about the overall liveliness, control, tomfoolery, wildness? Did it get out of control?
I think it was more or less controlled. There was some vaping, right? So that's kind of how you get through and get on the ship with that stuff. But I think it wasn't a free-for-all by any means. And I think there was just this elegance of the ship. And I don't know whether or not to say it's because I haven't been on another Vista-class ship. So I don't know whether or not to say that's something associated with the Italian theme or Vista class of ships. But there was just this elegance on the ship that if you were messing around, like, you definitely stood out, and there was some of that.
I can there you tell go. You
a few stories, mean, that's, but, yeah. But yeah, no, overall it was a good experience. We had fun, definitely, but there wasn't too much. There was some day drinking going on, passed out people, drunk people who had to go to the medical center. You know, there was one guy that got zip tied to a wheelchair because he hit a security guard. So there was definitely some of that and more of that, obviously, on Carnival. Anytime I cruise on Carnival, no offense, but I see more of that than I do on any other cruise.
Of course.
But you know what? So there was definitely those stories, and they always happen to be like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like, what the heck is happening? But overall, it was a great experience. I mean, I think boarding the ship, that was the first time I actually got I checked in, they called all boarding groups, and I'm like, what's the holdup? I'm waiting there to board. I've been checked in. I have everything ready to go. And that was the checkpoint in the Manhattan terminal where we had to get sniffed by the dogs. So they corral us around this square area, and they have us put all of our bags down by the fencing area or whatever it's called. And then we have to step away. And then the dogs go around and sniff every single carry-on getting on that ship. And I'm like, cause that was definitely the bottleneck trying to get on board on embarkation day. And that was the first for me. So they're definitely serious about this, this kind of cracking down. So, but people still snuck it on. It wasn't as prominent on the ship, Security was pretty good, but on like the private island, I saw some of it, you know. So
they're holding the line. They're trying to hold the line. I got a question. So what's the deal with Guy's Burger over there? Did they introduce some Italian selections at Guy's Burger? Did they Italian up Guy's a little bit more than normal, or no?
Yeah, they did. There's like two or three added options. I didn't opt for them. I'll leave that to all the other content creators that have tested every menu item, but. They did it for Guy's. They did it for, and then they have Pomodoro. Yeah, Pomodoro. So they took their, so it's like an Italian, Mexican fusion kind of concept where you can get tacos or a chicken parm hero. So they definitely, like I said, every single aspect of this cruise there was an Italian style to it. The cabins, the decor, the food, the drink, everything. But guys, yeah, it was the same guys that I love. The only thing is, in that enclosed pool area, when they were like laying down some burgers on the grill, it smoked the whole place out. So like, if you're sitting by the pool,
oh.
I mean, people were like coughing at times because they were just cooking a ton of burgers, particularly, you know, at the peak times where people are getting back on the ship from a port of call, and they're just, let's grab a burger. So there was a ton of smoke, and there's just no way to kind of move that air around.
Yeah. See, when it was pizza, see, on Carnival Splendor, that was one of the only other ships that has that main Lido deck, I guess, retractable roof. And that just became some sort of like a sensory memory thing for me that I just loved. Every time I got on that ship, the chlorine pizza smell, because the thing was shut down and the pizza pirate, or whatever they called it, was at the, I guess, opposite guys, where on a lot of ships, it's the Blue Iguana Cantina. But I just, chlorine pizza. I was like, oh, yeah, back on the Splendor, walk upstairs, chlorine pizza hits you as soon as you get up there. So I just loved it. But all right, let's switch gears a little bit and make it about me. You are, as we mentioned before, I would say a Norwegianite, an expert, a connoisseur of all things Norwegian. And I think the Joy is no exception there, right? You got a couple of sailings in on the Joy, right?
Yes. I'm very excited to talk about this. Yes. I've been on the Joy many times. So
this was originally going to be a solo cruise. I did pick up another guest with me, a good buddy, Hannah, from past cruises, always be booked in a different era. She was kind of prevalent on a lot of them. This is the girl who went on a cruise, and we met her in Miami because her cruise was ending and we were about to jump on the Escape. So we had a night where we were all going to be in Miami just to kind of cross over. We went out, had a couple of drinks, and she drunk booked our cruise. And I didn't even know you could do this, because I thought the manifest and everything had to be in. At about 10:30 the night before, we're out. You know, she's getting ready to get her flight back home. We're about ready to get on a cruise. And she's like, I got to get on this thing with you. We called Norwegian and she was able to get on.
You can do that. I've done that. I mean, if you're within, I think, 2 days, you're not on the roster, the physical roster, that like when you show up at the port and you go through like the first step security, they kind of have that sheet, that packet where they cross your name off or whatever.
Yep.
You're not on that list, right? There's like a blocked period where you don't make it on and you have to sit there like you're in timeout, and they have to contact the ship to make sure you're a guest. Now, I don't know if that happened for her, but for me, that's happened. And that's within that like 2 day period, I think, because I've booked cruises definitely the day before.
So I think that's maybe a Norwegian thing, because Carnival, I tried to book a Carnival cruise the day before, and there was spots in the ship, and the lady on the phone just explained to me that the manifest has been submitted, sir. You cannot. I'm sorry, you cannot get on this sailing. And it kind of made sense, because when I sat through a couple of the captain's talks, they kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, we're not overly invasive, but, you know, we know a little bit more, because they were talking about security.
They
were
like,
know a little bit more about you than you think before you get on these ships. And I guess different cruise lines do it differently. But yeah, so she's going to be joining
probably
me.
Probably like, oh, that drunk's coming on again.
Oh, this guy, the guy who
for me. Yeah.
Well, for you, for me, you know, shout out to Don, who's shaming people for sleeping on balconies and stuff like that in his content throughout the week. But whatever, that's a whole other story. I guess, you know, all of a sudden,
you know, don't know anything about that.
A big story went out there. Somebody slept. I've been doing that for 10 years. What are we talking about here? But either way, so the Norwegian Joy, can you give me a little something on the Joy? Of course, there's a pool deck. Of course, there is a main dining room. Of course, there's what are the details? There's a go-kart track, I guess, on this thing. What are some of the details, the nooks and crannies, the good, the bad, the indifferent about Norwegian Joy that you think I should look for?
Yeah. So we've talked, I think, about the Joy before in a different context, but that pool deck, it's so controversial. Like, people hate it. They're like, the pool's off to the side. It's that. So I'd be curious to get your feedback on the pool deck. I like it. To me, it offers more space in the middle. That you know, for chairs or deck parties, whatever. But in terms of the joy, it's one of the, I mean, it's the biggest ship, one of the biggest. So it's got basically everything. You got to check out the brew house. I think the food at Food Republic is great. If you have any of the freebie dinners, and you can get, if you have the freebie dinner, like the free at sea, I think you can order four things, which, I mean, it's a lot of food. So
check per person? Out
Food Republic. Yeah, per person. So if you have a voucher, you can order eight things. Like, I'll go solo with my platinum voucher, and it's like dinner for two, right? But I'm always solo for the most part. They'll let me order eight things. Now, I don't need eight things, but I bring four things to my favorite bartender or whatever around the ship. That's why they love me. But I'll bring to-go containers. I'm that kind of crazy sometimes.
Oh, I love it. Ships. I love it.
But yeah, in terms of bar concepts, Brewhouse was always my go-to. Maltings is that dungeon maltings.
Like, wait, so hold maltings, on first to go back yeah. to Brewhouse for a second. So yeah. Brewhouse, what is it? Is it they it's don't have 55 a brew?
Beers.
Yeah, so 55 beers, all just brought in though. They don't have a brewery on board, right?
No brewery on board, but they partner with, I think they have this 66 line of drinks. So they've partnered with other companies, but there's like the 66 line where you can order the 66 Prosecco or the 66 beer or the 66 vodka. They have this whole line of spirits now that are Norwegian.
Oh, okay. They just partnered with
But somebody. They also partnered with like Wynwood, I believe. Wynwood in Miami.
Gotcha.
You know, they're a Miami-based company. So they partnered with this Wynwood brewery, which is like big enough for 15 people. So I always laugh when I get on the ship and I'm like, shit, you partnered with Norwegian. Because I mean, it's a small brewery in Miami for the most part. So they have some partnerships, but they're not brewing on board.
Makes sense. Yeah. All right. So, and then you see what you were about and to do the
challenge.
Things.
Maybe if you can survive the challenge.
Challenge? What's the challenge? Twice.
You got to drink every beer.
55?
Yeah. But you got to drink non-alcoholic beers. You got to drink Guinness. You got to drink seltzers. You got to drink shit that or stuff that you don't really like.
Wait, hold on. They have that? That's a thing? The challenge?
It's called the All-Star Challenge. You didn't see that? I was bragging about it for months online.
Okay. No, I'm not doing that in 5 days. That's 5 days, Ryan. Okay. So, like, all right. You were moving over to maltings then.
No, maltings is that. So I love maltings as a concept. You know, I'm a whiskey guy for the most part. And it's this dungeon maltings. It's like, you know, where they have like the 6, 7, 8 concept where you have that, you know, kind of open area, three decks.
Le Bistro
it's
there.
It's on the bot. So there's no Le Bistro there. That's the thing. Le Bistro's in the back bar near like the A-list. So it's Cagney's on one side, Le Bistro on the other side.
No Churrascaria?
Right.
They took it out?
So Le Bistro is, it's not on board. No, I don't think it ever was on board.
Wow.
Yeah. So Maltings is where like Teppanyaki or Le Bistro would be.
That's interesting.
On deck six or whatever. So I call it the dungeon because I'm used to the maltings concept next to the waterfront with windows and stuff. But this, you go in there, there's no windows. It's dark. I mean, it's a whiskey bar. I get it. But I sit down there and I get depressed sometimes. I'm like the only person down there. There's like, you know, some older folks reading a book in the other corner. But it's you'll see what I mean. And that's next to the Social, which the Social is their nightclub. The nightclub is a traditional nightclub. It's also where they do like the art auctions, whatever. And there is a bar, but the bar is in another room. And if it's packed, and you're on a 5-day cruise out of New York, it's going to be crazy. I'm sure people are going to get into it. That bar in the nightclub can get really claustrophobic with lines, people trying to get drinks. You'll see what I mean too when you're there in person. I know I'm kind of sounding like I don't like a lot about the joy, but I love it. It's
no, I don't take it like that. I think it just kind of like laying out the uniqueness of it a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, you know, it was rebranded, right? It was kicked off in the Asian market. And then they changed a lot of the venues, added venues. And in fact, I think it went through a dry dock in January where half of the observation lounge is cabins. They've added a thermal spa. So I haven't seen it since January either.
Right. So I didn't realize that when I was doing a little bit of research, that thermal spa on that ship is new.
They took away the Galaxy Pavilion, like all those like virtual reality stuff.
They think Asians don't like thermal spas? Why didn't they?
I don't know.
So, yeah, so that's, I don't think I'm going to go in on that. It's a couple $100.
Yeah, but if you do tour it on the first day, maybe. I don't know. I'd be curious to see what it looks like because it's their newest thermal spa.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Just get the tour, a little content.
Yeah, it's always open the first day.
Right, so ultimately what we're talking about, and I think they shut down the laser tag. Did I hear that right? If I'm not...
I think they did as part of that refurb too, yeah. But the racetrack's still there. It's a great ship. It really has every venue, well, not the not Moderno as a dining concept, but I think besides that, it has really everything.
I said Churrascaria, you said Moderno. Let's just so everybody it's knows what we're talking thing. About. This is the this is the Brazilian steakhouse concept that, you know, is very popular on land in places like Fogo de Chão and you know, just stuff like that. They Norwegian was kind of like that was kind of a staple for them for a while. Yeah. And I guess they're gravitating away from that. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean they have the Ocean Blue, they've got the Le Bistro, La Cucina, Cagney's, the Taste Saver Manhattan, obviously concept. So you'll see it's very similar to other ships, but it has its differences, and it's related to that kind of remodel after the kind of failure in Asia.
Right. And then, so like the, what was I just going to ask this? So I know they were going O'Sheehan's for a while. What's sort of like the all night O'Sheehan's?
Yeah, the local.
That's the local.
And it's bright and clean. It's not that Irish kind of flair. But I actually like the food at the local better. So I'll be curious to see what your opinion is there on the food. The menu is slightly different. But yeah, that it's the local concept.
My thing with O'Sheehan's was that, honestly, I'm not knocking them. I'm not being a... They never seemed like they wanted to serve you late night.
So I'm glad you brought this up because I remember you mentioning this on a Patreon where they were like, you had commented that the staff really didn't feel like they wanted to be there, and you were you were annoying them in a way, and they had to work. But finish your thought, and I'll give you my thoughts.
No, it was just exactly that. So I've had some times where it's like they've been very very pleasant or whatever else, and they but I think like. They know what you are. If at 1 a.m. they know what you're dealing with, and they know you're not paying, are they going to? And then they just don't seem to love that shift is all I'm saying, that late night overnight shift, all to the point culminating on the vloggers cruise where they just shut the damn thing down for 2 hours, like unannounced, like there's no explanation. We're shutting it down. We got to clean. Yeah, but you say 24 hours. Yeah, but we got to clean though. It says 24 hours. Yeah, go get some cookies. Beat it. Like that was the answer. So what were you saying in response to that?
No, I mean I can understand where they're coming from. I've been in Oceans or the local late night. I mean, I've been pretty bad there too, I'm sure, but I'm more of a quiet sit in the corner, just let me do my thing. But I've seen rowdy crowds come in there and really, really give the staff a hard time. I mean, really bad.
Oh, I didn't say it wasn't warranted.
No, and I'm not so they hate it. They hate to be there.
Yeah.
I'm sure they hate to be there. And so it's also after their shift in the dining room or whatever, or they're dedicated to the Oceans and they have to get up at, you know, they start breakfast, like I think 5 or 6 a.m. So you have those kind of, you know, that staff in the Oceans, a local concept, they definitely are not necessarily the happiest on board. And I think it's rightfully so, but there's some quirkiness about it. Yeah. They close it at random times, or they say 24 hours, but I don't know. You really can't just show up at 4:30 in the morning, 5 a.m. And try to get food, and they don't let you bring food. Right. So I always would, like, if it's a late night, I would go there, get some chicken wings or maybe a burger or something. And then I'd want like, can I bring back to my room like a carrot cake or, you know, whatever, some dessert. No, you can't take anything out of the restaurant. It's like, why?
Yeah, well, that's one of those
things. Take anything out of any other restaurant.
That's one of those things where you get up and walk away. They let them tackle you. It's not going to happen.
Well, they say because it's a moneymaker, because the local is the kitchen for the room service.
Uh-huh.
So they're like, no, you can't just come here and order what you would order in your room and pay $12 for.
Right, it's right, right.
One of those things. Anyway.
All right. So, and then I guess the last question on – the ship
and Bermuda.
No, wait, hold on. But the ship,
we got to go there too.
Yes. No, that's the main thing. And I know we're running long, like we've been known, but, the waterfront. So I know Sid Norman's. I know it's, you know, the usual whatever. But what? Oh, no, they don't have that, right? They have the Beatles thing. Is that just what it is? Just old Beatles? Because that's a that's a nightmare for me as I lose thousands of people.
Yeah, I mean, you know how. I think you know by now I'm a huge fan of Sid Norman's.
Yeah.
And the Cavern is their Beatles equivalent, you know, not equivalent, but in place of Sid Norman's, they've got the Cavern Club. I don't go there. And I go there, I've been there to see it, but it's not my thing. And I don't know, maybe it's against the Beatles, I don't know, but you'll see the concept. It's just like long and narrow venue. And I go to the outside. They have an outdoor bar too.
So it's that along the whole side where like that waterfront where they have the inside and outside version of everything.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So check it out, grab a drink, but yeah, it's always, it's packed and I'm not the biggest Beatles fan either, I guess.
All right. So here we go. So this is the one thing that I have never done yet. It's long overdue. My entrance into the island of Bermuda, and that just has never happened. I'm very, very excited to be able to cross a Beach Boys song destination off my list when I get there. I was very intrigued by what you said, what you like to do there sometimes as far as, you know, hitting a couple of the local watering holes and stuff like that. And what was it you did some bus thing where you started at one end of the island and worked your way or something?
Yeah.
Give me that.
Yeah. So for a 7-day cruise, right? I don't know how much time you have in Bermuda, but I break it up into 3 days. The first day is always the first and second day, depending on the weather. One's a beach day. One is this island bar crawl. So if it's a crappier day, the first day I'll do the bar crawl. And then the other day will usually be Horseshoe Beach, which is it's a tourist beach. Everybody says, why do you go there? I've been to Bermuda, I don't know, over 30 times, and I still go there. I just love it as a beach. I've been to other beaches, but I just gravitate towards Horseshoe, and they do have facilities, which I like. And if you're hungry, you can go get a bite to eat. So I like that aspect of it. And then the third day, which is my short day, I stay in Dockyard or I stay on the ship, but for Dockyard, I'll go like there's, the Frog and Onion, where they make their own beer. It's a brewery, restaurant. So I go there, I'll maybe do some shopping, grab some cigars, walk around the Dockyard area, which is the area immediately next to where the ship docks. So there's stuff to do, but beyond Dockyard, you really don't go. It's a narrow road. It's dangerous to even walk out of Dockyard. So you'll see what I mean when you're there. There's some museums. There's swimming with dolphins. There's mini golf. There's really a lot to do in that immediate area. But I save that for the short day, because I have to, you know, you have to be back on the ship by 2 or 3. So you don't want to kind of go too far into the island. The island is a very long island. And if you were to drive from like one end to the other, it's probably over an hour. So you really don't want to get caught missing the ship on the last day. But really just the bar crawl concept. So Norwegian, you benefit from the fact that they have a free ferry from Dockyard to St. George's. So think of it as one tip to the other. So you can board that first ferry leaving Dockyard to St. George's, and the bars are open already over there just for the cruise ships. And so I'll usually hit a few bars in St. George's. Maybe I'll go over to Tobacco Bay Beach. You walk past the unfinished church. St. Catherine's Fort is out there. There's really a lot to do in Bermuda. But you can find some stuff to do in St. George's, some shopping, and then you get on a bus, and then I go over to like Swizzle Inn, get back on the bus, go over to the Bermuda Brewery near the Racquet Club, get on the bus. I know I'm flying through this and it doesn't make much sense to you right now, but I end up back in the city of Hamilton. And then there's a ton of bars, and restaurants and shopping in Hamilton. And then I can either get back on the bus and keep going all the way to Dockyard, or from Hamilton, you can take a ferry directly back to the ship, which depending on how much I've consumed up until that point, I will opt to get on the ferry and just get back to the ship and have dinner, or I'll keep going. And there's a few more bars on the way to Dockyard. So it's one end of the island to the other. I can give you a list of suggestions and names of bartenders at some of these bars. So
I love it. Definitely.
I'm excited for you to go there because, you know, it's my favorite island.
It is your favorite.
Before. Yeah. So And I've been there so many times, and I love it. That people are the nicest. It's the cleanest island I think I've been to. The attire, the culture, everything's just so unique.
All right. So my thing is, I'm getting in early on day one. What is it? 8, 9 o'clock. I don't know exactly. And obviously the whole entire day, whole entire night. And then I guess we leave at about 4 PM the following day. So I'm just trying to figure out how to break that up. I'm thinking, cause I want to definitely do all those three things. What you just said, those three things, I think is what it is. It's Horseshoe Bay Beach. Now I don't need a lot of beach time. I got to see Horseshoe Bay Beach. I got to just, you know, kind of just feel it out, maybe get an hour or two in there and just relax there. Again, I get, aside from the fact that, you know, I'm not built for the long stretches at a beach, I also just get unimaginably bored. So I'll keep it moving. So do I, if those three things are my thing, just a beach flyby, a bar crawl, as you mentioned, and then spending some time at Dockyard, I guess I got to just manage when those three things happen.
Yeah, my recommendation would be on day one, try to see the island. And it's a learning curve. Like now, it's just easy for me, but like getting a bus ticket, knowing which bus to get on, you know, there's a lot of quirkiness too that comes with a unique place. So you'll see that. But that's definitely, you have your work cut out for the first day if you kind of want to see the island.
Right.
So I recommend like kind of splitting the beach from that, because you want to be dressed with, you know,
right,
for that versus the beach. And then maybe on your second day, you just start at the beach for a few hours and then go to Dockyard, because Horseshoe Bay is closer to Dockyard than it is Hamilton or St. George's. You'll see on the map. I would recommend that. I would see the island.
That makes sense.
One day, your full day, you're not risking missing the ship at all. Second day, get off the ship, walk over to where the taxi stands are. It's a government regulated $7 per person per way rate to Horseshoe Beach. Pay the $7, they'll bring you to Horseshoe Bay. Don't worry, there's going to be plenty of taxis there to bring you back. And then when you come back from Horseshoe Bay, if you want to be dropped off in town versus by the ship, you just say, hey, drop me off here. Pay the $7. And you're in Dockyard. You really, I mean, I don't think you're a big shopper. Maybe
no, it'll
surprise
I'm
me,
not.
But right. So you only need a few hours in Dockyard too.
Perfect. Perfect. I did see some videos of some cool stuff that's right in and around Dockyard. And I think that's the move. That is the move, definitely.
Yeah, but that ferry to St. George's, it's great. The fact that it's complimentary.
So that's first thing. Just get off the ship, find that ferry, get to see. Yeah. I agree with you. And then that basically puts you in a
and
position.
And then work your way back.
Yeah. It puts you in a position to see the whole island, kind of do your thing, go at your own pace. Yeah, so it sounds cool. I'm definitely excited for it. Looking forward to it, especially with this. I mean, have you looked outside? This weather is just unbearable.
No, it's bad. It's bad.
When's
I'm looking out at a dreary day today? Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful. When's your next cruise?
My next cruise is May on the Norwegian Joy to Bermuda.
So, all right, I'll have some tips for you.
You can give me tips. Yep. Yeah. Awesome. That'll be good.
Absolutely, brother. Good talking to you.
All right. Good catching up.